And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. You are listening to Praise 103.9. Yes, you are. Our topic this morning is Beyond the Bedroom. This is Miss Kayla, and I'm filling in for Miss Tiffany Bacon. And we are here with Marcos Mercado. And we're also here with his wife and my friend Amaryllis. And we are talking about Beyond the Bedroom.
We are. Uh-huh. We're having a great spiritual but mature adult conversation. So if you have any little ones around, we do encourage you that this is really not for their ears just yet. You want to give them a few years more before they get into this conversation. But we have some great discussion here. Beyond the Bedroom, is the sex better before marriage, after marriage? If you didn't do it right, I mean, where are you with that? So we want to go. We have a special caller, D on line two. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, D.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
Oh, pretty good. Dee, I heard you want to keep it real, so go ahead.
I just had to keep it real.
Come on, girl.
I'm coming. My husband and I, we had a lot of issues before when we were married, but we really loved each other. I met him when I was living in sin, and we didn't get married until, like, after 10 years. Okay, we even had a child out of wedlock.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So to be honest with you, he was like, sex to us was like an addiction. Oh, my God, it was hot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it's such a terrible thing. But God started convicting. I grew up in church, and I know it's a lot of professing Christians out there, and I've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
They're fornicating.
Girls
even have babies. I've seen it all. We come to church Sunday after Sunday. And Marco, when God did convict me of it, I still was with this man, and I thought I could. Okay, we can go. I could just lay with him. I could just do this. But God was convicting me. I knew I had to stop.
Sure.
I knew I had to stop, Marcos. I knew I had to stop. And there's so many young ladies and young men, they want to stop, Marcos. Mm-hmm. They want to be married.
Yeah, come on.
And this how I was. You know, he was still doing his little thing. But, you know, God was convicting me. So I got to a point, God got me to a point where I had to stop. Even my mom helped me. She said, you're going to have to stop fornicating in my house.
Mm.
And that helped me so much, Marcos. That helped me. And I know there's people out there, they want to stop.
Yeah.
They're going to church. So eventually, we did get married. But it was hot for us. And that was the problem. I'm telling y'all, keep your legs closed. Because it's like, it can be such an addiction. And it's so hard. It's so hard. Oh, my goodness. When you enter that lifestyle. And I was to that one person. You understand? I wasn't like sleeping with a whole bunch. It was him. And I loved him so much. But I had to get to the point to not just be a churchgoer. And I know it was God. I had to love God.
That's right.
Amen.
More than him. I had to give up the mess to get the best.
All right.
You know, I had
Absolutely.
To give up that mess. And it was so hard. And when you get to that point, when God gets you to that point, you cannot date like the world.
Sure.
You're going to
sure.
have to stop laying with that person. You're going to have to stop saying, well, let's just do this. We can just go but this far. And you're going to fall. If you keep on doing that, you're going to fall.
That's right.
Absolutely right.
You cannot be touching on these people and doing all kind of stuff and getting you all hot and bothered and think you're not going to fall.
All right. Well, Dee, we want to say thank you so much for keeping it real. We appreciate your transparency and everything else. So God bless you. Thank you so much.
Now, Dee, not even Dee, but all those listeners out there, I was someone who I did have sex before I got married. And one thing that happened to me, and even living in that lifestyle, and one day I got in a compromising situation. There was a young man that I was dating, and we had had sex once before. And this particular time, you know, I was being convicted, and it was only one time before that, but this particular time I was being convicted, and we went out on a date, and he cooked dinner for me at his house, and he expected me to do this again because I had done it, you know, once before, had done it the first time. And
I did not want to. I was being convicted. I even told him, you know, that the Lord was convicting me. First of all, I shouldn't have been back in his house again.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, and being convicted.
Preach it, Kayla. Preach it.
But when that happened, he, you know, he said to me, well, you know, you did it before. You know, why won't you do it this time? And just kept pressing on and pressing on. And we got to a point where he was going to try to make me do this. And it wasn't until, and thankfully I got out of that situation, you know, got out of his home, and even asked him, you know, what, you know, are you going to, candidly, I'd say, are you going to rape me? And he said, no, it, you know, snapped him out of that. And he said, no. And I left. And that was what happened to me, to make me get on my knees and tell the Lord and, ask him to please take that away from me. Tell him and ask him to cleanse me, and that from that moment on that I would be celibate. And it was after that that I met my husband. But it was probably at least a year later.
Wow.
You know, and it was after that celibacy. So, you know, when you are in the world and you are doing all these things, not only the shame that comes with that, but also you knowing that, you know, you can get yourself into situations, as we know, people have they have children out of wedlock. And I mean, that does happen. And we love those children. Those kinds of things happen. But and also with getting yourself in compromising situations where you those terrible things can happen to you and someone, you know, take what you don't want to give them.
Okay, great. Well, Kayla, thank you so much for being so open and honest. I think that that's huge. People need to hear this, and I hope you hear this loud and clear, that you're playing with fire, and
that's
you
right.
will get burned. You know, as promised, we have a special sex expert here on the line, Joe Beam, who's the founder and the chair of the Beam Research Center. He's internationally respected as an authority of love, sex, and marriage. His expertise as a marriage and relationship expert is based on both rigorous study and research, as well as his own painful life experiences. Joe Beam, welcome to our program.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. I know you've done a lot of work. I followed your work throughout the years, and I'm very encouraged because you say things that most Christian circles do not even go closely in tackling and talking about.
Well, Marcus, you finally get old enough, you can do that.
All right. Well, I'm not as old as you, and I try to do it as well. But I do think that there are times we just got to keep it real, because if not, the devil would speak louder than we will.
Yes.
Amen. I agree.
All right. So share a little bit of what got you to this point. I know you shared earlier that, you know, some of these experiences are things that, you know, you're a sinner saved by grace. You know, you weren't always righteous, so you've had to learn some things the hard way.
Unfortunately, that's true. Way back in 1984, my wife and I actually divorced. We were divorced for 3 years, and then we remarried each other in 1987, and we've been married ever since. So a lot of what we learned, we did learn the hard way through mostly the things I did wrong and how it destroyed our relationship. But by the grace of God, we were able to put it back together and have been working on having a good marriage ever since. And back in 1994, we began working with marriages. Not too long after that, I realized that if we were going to work with marriages, we also were going to have to work with the sexual dimensions of marriage. A lot of problems for people there.
Wow, great, great. And I think that one of the things that I've noticed is that people think that there could be like a quick fix. You know, if we just did this, it fixes it. But intimacy is a lot more than that. If you need to forgive and you haven't completely forgiven, I know that you cannot have that. And so let me ask you this. When you stepped out of your marriage and then you came back together, what was different afterwards? And what were some of the challenges, but what was different about your marriage the second time around?
Well, when we first married each other again, I mean, the second marriage, we really hadn't fixed anything, and so everything started getting bad pretty fast in the second marriage. And we realized, you know, we're not knowing how to do this. we can't do this to each other again. We can't divorce each other. We can't do this to our children, to our families, to the kingdom of God. We're going to have to figure this out. And so in the second marriage, we actually spent time trying to figure out how to understand each other, how to really be in love with each other. Of course, Alice had a lot to forgive because in those 3 years I was gone, I lived a very bad lifestyle. And I had to learn how to also get past that myself in terms of, wow, you know, I can't believe I did those things. God, you say you're forgiven me, but I don't feel forgiven. And so there were a lot of things involved. And you're right. The American way is you take a pill and then you're okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that just doesn't work. It's a process, not a pill.
Absolutely. And Joe Beam, just hold those thoughts. We're going to be right back. We're going to take a quick pause for the cause, but we'll be right back after this break.
To Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Beyond the Vows. This is Miss Kayla, and our topic is Beyond the Bedroom right here on Praise. You can give us a call at 215-263-1039 in Philly or 877-995-7644. If you have some little ones, I think you need to tell them to go away for a little bit because we're talking about a hot topic, okay? This is not for them. Beyond the Bedroom, we're talking about love, marriage, and sex. I'm going to give it over to Marcos.
All right, great. Well, this is Marcos Mercado. I'm the host of Marriage Beyond the Vows. And before the commercial break, we were talking about not just beyond the bedroom, but intimacy. We were keeping it real. We had a caller who actually said that her sex life was hot before she was married. And we also Joe Beam, a sex expert who just joined in, and he is here on the line with us. Joe, if you can say hello.
Hello.
Yeah, there you are. So just want to make sure you're there. Let me ask you a question, Joe. This woman that called in right before you did, she was mentioning that her sex life was hot, and now it's really not, meaning that it seemed like her sex life was better before than after. What would you say to someone like that who seemed to have enjoyed their sex life before they did it the right way?
Okay, before meaning before she got married?
She said before she got married, before she tried to do things the right way, she was living a sinful life, a promiscuous lifestyle, and she felt like it was great. The sex was great. Life was great. So what do you say to someone who just feels like they had a better experience before they were doing it God's way?
Well, it can be done that way if it's primarily based just purely on the physical sensation and novelty. For example, we know there's all kinds of research that it doesn't take long in the marriage before there's a thing called habituation, which means that we sort of get used to each other, and therefore it may not be as exciting from a novelty standpoint, but the connection that it was meant to be, that the deep emotional bond between two people, it enjoys the sensual, the physical, but it's much, much deeper than that. So I think when she says hotter, what she's saying is there was more novelty to it. But I'll guarantee you she wasn't having the kind of connection that sex can bring to a couple when they're loving, married, and committed to each other.
Okay. And Joe, you know, sometimes we get callers that feel like they're just not experienced and they don't know where to find, I guess, great advice, because if people want to go into it, and my wife and I have experienced this, you can't just walk into like a sex shop because it's full of so many other things besides just sex that you could enjoy. So it'll be like a whole wall full of pornography or something. And it's like, man, maybe you're looking for something that can enhance your sex life. But for us, we won't even go in there. We just walk right out because it's not a place as a Christian that we want to be in. So what do you recommend for someone who is saved, who has a relationship with God, and just feels like maybe they flatlined a little bit with their sex life, they want to spice it up? What would you recommend?
Well, there's some interesting websites out there. There's the marriagebid.com. It's out on the West Coast. It is operated by Christian people, and they have forums where people, you know, talk about these things, but they take pretty strong stands. You know, this is what's right, this is what's wrong, this is what the Bible says. And so you can go to a site like that, marriagebed.com. There's also one called christiannymphos.com, believe it or not. Okay. It's run primarily by women, but they are doing their best to live by the Christian principles.
Okay.
And there are even, I don't know exactly how you would find them, maybe Google, but there are some Christian stores, if you will, online that sell things that can help you. We're not talking about porn or anything like that.
Sure.
That, for example, if they have lingerie on their site, it's not on a live model, it's on a mannequin, so as to prevent lust and those kinds of things. Those kinds of things are out there, and more and more. Driscoll, I think, who is a pastor out of the West Coast, just wrote a book, he and his wife together, about sex in marriage. Okay. So I think we're beginning to get there, where Christians can talk about it from our perspective, stand up for what we believe, refer to the Bible, and help people with these problems.
Absolutely. Joe, we do appreciate that. We're going to go ahead and take a phone call, Joe, and we'd like for you to chime in as well. We have Nicole on line 3. Good morning, Nicole. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. I had a question for the expert.
Absolutely. His name is Joe Beam, and he's on the line. Ask away.
Hello, Highness of Beam.
Hello.
Hi. We've been married. Me and my husband have been married for 4 years, and we have 2 children. And suddenly, over the last year, he didn't want to have sex at all anymore. He is the sole provider of our family, so he said that he was dressed. He really wasn't in the mood. And I don't know, something just clicked.
Oh, I think we lost her.
Oh, it's too bad. I had a few questions for her.
Okay.
What's going on in his life. Mm-hmm. For example, does he have an extra amount of stress? Are things going on that way? Another is he depressed? If a person is depressed, it particularly affects females, but it does males as well, you lose your sexual desire. It will affect your ability to become sexually aroused. It will even affect your ability to function sexually. Mm-hmm. And many people who are depressed are not aware of the fact that they are, and therefore are not getting the help that they need. So we'd want to look at those things that we would say circumstantial. Mm-hmm. The problem she's describing is what we call a secondary sex problem. Primary would be, has it always been that way? Secondary would be, okay, did it become that way? It was once one way, but now it's that way. So she's describing secondary. Secondary always has some kind of a cause. It's going to be a biological cause or a psychological/emotional cause, or it could be a relationship cause. Mm-hmm. We look at all those things, ask all those questions, and finally figure out, okay, what is it that's leading to this? Is it a relationship problem? Is he having some kind of a biological problem? And by the way, depression and anxiety are placed under that. Is he having some kind of a psychological problem? In other words, is he beginning to worry about his function as a sexual human being, that maybe he's not adequate, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
And once we can figure out some of the possible causes, then there are potential solutions, such as, okay, if that's the problem, then let's do this or let's try this.
Now,
typically,
Joe,
secondary problems like that are solvable.
Okay, well, Joe, let me ask you this, because from where I sit, usually it is sometimes what you mentioned, but usually it tends to be more of an affair. Mm-hmm. I would say maybe 8 out of 10 times. When the husband just all of a sudden doesn't feel like he even wants to be with his wife, it's because something else is going on. I agree. It could be something psychological, something emotional. But many, many times from where I sit, I realize that it's an affair that they're having. And they're just not interested in their spouse because they're really having their needs met somewhere else. And then they feel the guilt. So they can't even perform with their spouse. What would you say in that case? Like, what would you advise, let's say, if it was Nicole in this case, what would you advise someone like her to do if they suspect that maybe it's an affair?
If she suspects an affair, and you're right, an affair definitely can do all of this. If she suspects an affair, then we start asking questions like, okay, is there missing time? In other words, you don't know exactly where he is or what he was doing. We also ask, is there missing money? if there's missing money, because sin is just expensive. Mm-hmm. Also, we begin to ask questions like, does he, when you question things like that, does he tend to try to convince you that you're out of your mind? In other words, he starts putting everything back on you. This is your problem. You're just et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There are several different cues. If you suspect, I would check Facebook pages. I would look at phone records. I would do all those kind of things to find out if it's happening, and if so, to confront it or to reassure yourself that it's not. But, yeah, you're right. A lot of infidelity does take place.
Okay. And, Joe, we have another caller, Mrs. James, on line three, who has a question actually about orgasms. Okay. Good morning, Mrs. James.
Hello, Ms. James.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, Mrs. James. Welcome to our program. We have Joe Beam, an expert, and I heard you have a specific question for us today.
Yes, my question is around orgasm. Before I got married, I read a lot of fantasy books, and obviously I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing. I was masturbating, and I was able to achieve orgasm by myself. I got married, and nothing at all, and I'm divorced now. I'm thinking about getting married again, and I'm really concerned I don't know if it's an issue of my not being satisfied sexually. I don't understand, more or less. That's my question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, Joe, you want to...
Well, unfortunately, I was having a little difficulty hearing that. Could you kind of repeat the gist of it for me?
Sure. I'll tell you what she was saying. Basically, that she, before she was married, she was doing something wrong. She was reading fantasy books, and she was masturbating, and she was able to have orgasms. And then she got married, and she wasn't able to with her spouse. Now she's divorced, and she's kind of debating with herself whether she wants to get married again, but she's kind of wondering, what was the cause of that, and how could she make sure that in this next relationship, if she gets married, that she will be able to achieve an orgasm?
Okay. All right, so the first thing we know is that she is able to have an orgasm. That's the important thing. If she can produce it by herself on her own when she was masturbating, that means that she's physically, mentally, et cetera, capable of doing so. If she was not having orgasms with her husband, the first thing we would have to ask is, okay, were you expecting to have the orgasms from intercourse? Less than half the women in America can have an orgasm from just intercourse. And that's because the way he shaped, the way she shaped, et cetera, just didn't produce enough friction where it needed to. That would mean that they would, if they were still married, what we would try to do is to help them understand different things they could do together that would and could produce an orgasm for her as well as for him, but it might not be just from intercourse. Mm-hmm. We know it can happen, so we would say, let's make sure you know how to make it happen. That means that if she were to marry again, which I expect that she will, that they need together to learn how to bring her to orgasm as well as he. And this is very doable. It's probably more about technique and position and actions. I doubt seriously that the lack of orgasm was because of the fact that she was married.
Okay.
If so, it's because the relationship was bad.
Okay. And now, Joe, my wife Amaryllis is here, and I know that's something that, you know, we don't mind talking about, and I know she can share something a little bit as well.
I have a question for you. Is it a state of mind?
I think it's more I probably prefer fantasy a lot more. I think that's something I've come to realize, that I'm the type of person that fantasizes a lot. And it's, I know why. It's because I've read a lot of erotic books while growing up. Started at probably about 12 years old. And it seems to still have that hold over my mind. And if that fantasy's not there, it seems like I'm not going anywhere.
Sure.
Well, that's then becomes a matter of retraining your mind. It's called being present. Mm. What that means is you actually learn through a series of exercises with your husband how to be present in the moment with him. So you learn how to find the stimulation that you need to make the orgasm occur. It will take a while. Mm-hmm. When you've conditioned yourself for that to be a prerequisite for your orgasm, it takes a little while to overcome. It's kind of a retraining of the mind, But it is possible and very doable.
Yeah. And Miss Jones, I just want to encourage you at this stage in your life, you know, you really do want to clear your heart and your mind.
Yes.
And I don't think that's what you're doing, but you want to make sure that you're not going backwards and indulging in those fantasies again. So that.
Oh, no. I stopped that because even being single now, I recommitted myself to a celibacy. I've been celibate for about 2 years, and I made up my mind I don't want to have sex before marriage again. So I've worked hard on that, and I'm still working on that. But, you know, I think it's the issue of my mind.
Absolutely.
Getting the focus on the right things now, and then when the time comes, get a focus on that. But, you know, after you've been divorced, you do a lot of self-evaluation, you know, and a lot of, I would say, try to correct things you can before you take the step again.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much, Ms. Jones. We do appreciate it, and we thank you so much for being open and transparent.
No, thank you. Thank you.
I admire her. I admire the fact that she's doing the things that she's doing. Good for her.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think, you know, the reality, one of the things I've learned is we can have a really messed up past, but it doesn't have to dictate what our future will be like.
That's right.
And we see that a lot in marriage. And, you know, one of the things my wife was going to say was just that state of mind. Yeah. And that's made a difference for us, Joe.
Yeah. I think for me, sometimes in the past, I have put so much effort and energy and stress to want to achieve an orgasm. And I have realized that it have only caused just frustration, whether to myself or to the intimacy. It kills the moment. But when I set my mind in prayer and just being relaxed and just making sure that I'm communicating with Marcos with what works, what doesn't work, I realize that I notice a difference, but I definitely agree that it is a set of mind.
I think you're a very wise woman. When pleasuring each other, because you love each other and you're communicating and communing with each other, when that becomes the goal, rather than orgasm becoming the goal, everything changes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we have another caller here, Mrs. Smith, on line two. We're going to go to her right now.
Good morning. Oh,
we have bad connection, I think. All right.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll be able to have Mrs. Smith right now. We have some kind of bad connection.
All right.
Now, Joe, let me ask you this. What exactly is sexology?
Well, any kind of ology means a study of. So psychology is a study of the psyche, for example. So sexology is simply a study of sex. The difference in what I am as a sexologist, say, for example, and a sex therapist or a sex counselor, sex educators teach about sex. Sex therapists actually work with people directly, like a counselor or therapist, about sexual problems. A sexologist is a person who studies the sex in all of its dimensions, much like a psychologist would, and then we try to take what we learn in our studies through our own research, through research of other people in the field, and share that with both the sex educators and the sex therapist and people in general. So it's like a teacher, but the emphasis not so much on teaching as it is on learning.
Okay. Wow. And so how is that different, though, for someone who has a biblical foundation?
Well, you learn pretty quickly in the sexological world that if you come from a Christian perspective, you are in the minority.
That's true.
For example, I went to the World Congress of Sexual Health every other year, or every 2 years. That's done somewhere in the world. Mm-hmm. The time I went, it was in Sydney, Australia. And all the researchers and et cetera come together and have this big convention for about a week to give all the latest studies. And you learn very quickly that most major religions are treated with respect, but not us. Mm. We're looked down on. And that they will actually, the lecturers will actually cite famous Christian leaders who have sinned sexually. Mm. And so therefore they use them to indicate that we Christians are basically hypocrites, and at least the other religions are not. Well,
wow.
So it's pretty bad, and we get made fun of, ridiculed a lot in the sexological world.
Wow, and I know you've recently released a new book called The Art of Falling in Love. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, The Art of Falling in Love is based on our work with thousands of couples. It basically, and the experience that Alice and I went through when we tried putting our marriage back together, there's actually a process for falling in love. If you follow the process, you fall in love whether you intend to or not. Mm-hmm. If you vacate or violate the process, you fall out of love whether you intend to or not. And it makes a lot of sense. If you think about it, back in Bible times, a lot of the marriages were arranged, and yet people still were expected to learn to love each other and make it last. So love is a doable process. And this book is, okay, let's show you the process. Let's show you how it works and make sure that you get on that path and stay on that path so that not only do you stay in love with each other, but, Marcus, like you were mentioning earlier, that you don't get involved with other people in the process.
Absolutely. And so how would people be able to find this book? Is it available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com?
Oh, yes. It's in the bookstores. It's online. It's not hard to find at all, The Art of Falling in Love. It's by Howard Books, which is a division of Simon & Schuster. So they shouldn't be difficult to find at all.
Okay. Well, we thank you so much, and we appreciate you calling in. One of the things we've been doing, we usually do it towards the end of our show. We still have a few minutes, but we like to leave our couples with a nugget of wisdom, something that they can take for themselves throughout the week before our next show next Saturday. What is something that you would like to share with all couples that would enhance their relationships, specifically enhance their sex life, if they put something into practice?
In my opinion, when people typically ask me, what do you think the most important thing is about a relationship, period, they'll ask things like, do you think it's communication, which of course is important, etc. But based on what we see, the research indicates that if people want a divorce, it's for one of these reasons. It's either because they feel disrespected, disliked, or unloved. Mm. So if you make sure that in everything you do, you treat the other person with respect, you treat the other person with love, you treat them as if you actually like them, everything changes. And in the bedroom and every place else, those things are crucial. So respect, treating you as an equal, giving you what you deserve, so that I'm not totally focused on myself, fulfilling you. And when you do that, in and out of the bedroom, okay, so let me add one more dimension to that.
Okay.
We also know that when it comes to being sensual in the bedroom, the more sensual you are outside the bedroom with each other, the more sensual you'll be inside the bedroom. So the more you hold hands outside the bedroom, the more you walk together and talk, if you cuddle on the couch, if all those things that are sensual in the sense that you're actually paying attention to each other, increases the sensuality in the bedroom. And so finally this, everything that happens outside the bedroom affects what happens inside the bedroom, and everything that happens inside the bedroom affects what happens outside the bedroom.
So it's a great cycle you want to keep going.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we thank you so much, Joe Beam. Would you have a website or something that anyone wants to find out more information about you and your work?
Yes, Marriage Helper, marriagehelper.com. That's our primary site. There's a lot of articles there, forums, all those kinds of things. Love to have people visit marriagehelper.com.
All right. Well, we thank you so much. And
thank you, Marcus.
Blessed. We appreciate all your insight and wisdom.
May God be with you.
Same here. Thank you.
Right.
God bless.
Thank you.
All right, ladies. I'm sure a lot was shared. I appreciate, especially, and again, if you're just tuning in with us, we're having an adult conversation.
Right.
You are listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise. Yes, this is happening on Praise. We're keeping it honest. We're keeping it real, but we're also keeping it tasteful. But we had a conversation just a moment ago about orgasms. And Amaryllis, I appreciate your vulnerability, and I agree. It is a two-way street, but we have to set our minds, our hearts, if we're distracted. And it's not just for women, for men, too. And what I want to say, again, if you have little ones, please, you know, have them walk out of the room. Sometimes men have not so much a problem with attaining an orgasm, but they have premature ejaculation because they're not focused on really pleasing the wife. They're just focusing on themselves.
Right.
And it's a quick fix. And one of the things I've learned is in setting my mind is that it's not about me at the moment.
Right.
That if I give my wife her pleasure and I'm thinking about her and how I can meet that need, and we're consistent with that, the sex does get better and better and better because you become familiar with each other. You begin to just really have that true intimacy that I believe God designed for us to have.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Sam Dowling here in the studio. I know he wanted to keep it real as well. Earlier on, we had a conversation about how the sex sometimes seemed to be hotter outside of the marriage, you know, before you were married, as opposed to afterwards. So, Sam Dowling, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you. I had a quick question about, I know for myself, before I got married, and through college. And I used to, I guess, be out there, real loose, a lot of women, a lot of activity. And it was more of a, after it was done, after the sex, getting up and leaving, there was no real connection, intimacy. It was hot, like the other caller, everything was great, it was good. But then when I got married, my wife and I, we kept it pure before our marriage as well. And then when I became a Christian, so afterwards, I still kind of carry that along in my marriage, and it's been married for 15 years. And what happens is that I find myself sometimes kind of going back to that feeling of, if sex is sex, then it's afterwards, get up, kind of go down, get a sandwich or something, and keep on moving. And making that intimacy, making that connection, sometimes I find that hard to do, is to really be in that moment. Mm-hmm. So what do you suggest?
Well, yeah, my wife has something to share, which is really good. I mean, we're one. So we've learned a lot. We're still learning. We're not saying we're experts. Our expert is not on the line anymore. But we're learning. And I tell you, there are some great things that I've known that I've been able to learn. But I want to hear what my wife has to share.
This is good. I believe that a lot of men, when you're done, you're done. And I think that for some of us as women, we are patient enough to make sure that we fulfill our duty, that we are giving, that we are loving. But then afterwards, we want to connect. We want to talk. We want to...
pillow talk.
You know, pillow right. talk. You know, we want to cuddle. And I think that is so, so crucial at time even to deny yourself and to think about the other person. But I know that's the time that I tend to be the most vulnerable with Marcos. And he's the same way with me. But I noticed that is we have to set our mind that, you know what, we're just not going to pick up and go and get caught up with everything else, but let's catch up and mm-hmm. let's connect and let's cuddle and let's chat, you know? And it makes such a huge difference for the rest of the day.
And, you know, something that we've learned, and I believe some of this was from Joe Bean's research and from some other research that I've studied, there is such a thing, and we skip the stage when you have the arousal period and then you have, you know, that climax, and then you finally get to that release. And those are the different sex cycles. But then we skip one very important one, which is the stage of recuperating,
mm-hmm.
the stage of, you know, kind of at that moment you enjoy it instead of getting right up and doing whatever you have to do.
Right.
Just enjoy that moment, to be honest. And I'm just being transparent here. That's partly one of my most favorite parts about sex is right after that. I just feel that I don't feel any stress. Mm-hmm. I feel relaxed. Mm-hmm. I'm right. grateful. And I'm able to even think spiritual, like, God, I'm really grateful. I have a great wife. I have a great life. I mean, mm-hmm. man, this is great. This must be a little taste of heaven because it's what God really, you know, sanctioned for us to have. And I appreciate what Kayla shared earlier, that you don't have to worry about the guilt.
Yes.
That's right.
And that's the part where I can lie there on the bed with my wife and not feel guilty and actually realizing that this is pleasing to God.
That's
not
right.
Not only is it okay, but it's pleasing to God. God is pleased. He can look at us and say, that's what I created. That's what it's supposed to be like. That's true love. That's making love. That's not sex in itself. That's true intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One thing that Amaryllis talked about, she talked about prayer,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I remember once I got married to my husband, I prayed, and this was immediate. I mm-hmm. prayed that the Lord would bless us to be compatible in the mm-hmm. bed. And it has made such a difference in, well, I don't even know what the difference is because I prayed that initially, and that can be done at any time. And the Lord blessed us that we are compatible. Like, we did not have those issues, and we didn't know them because we decided to wait once, you know, we were together. Mm-hmm. And along with you guys, we had some close and some close calls, you know, but we definitely decided to wait, and that prayer was very helpful. Mm-hmm. And just the freedom that comes with that, the freedom that comes with being with your husband and without guilt and all of that, it's just so important. And I'm thankful that that the Lord made us compatible. We know what each other needs, mm-hmm. what our needs are, and it worked out like that, and I'm thankful to the Lord for
that. That's
great.
Awesome. You know, We usually go to Facebook, and we do have just a few minutes to go to Facebook. Many of you, instead of calling, you've had questions. You're asking all these type of questions. If you've not done this already, we invite you to visit our Facebook page. Go to marriage. Go to Facebook.com. Look for Marriage Beyond the Vows and click the like button and get in on the conversation. There's so many things that have been shared and asked and commented about this topic. One of the ones that I want to focus on is a little bit earlier in the week, as I posted some of these questions, someone mentioned that they had a hard time because they felt like they couldn't enjoy sex in the bedroom with their spouse because they didn't want to be lustful towards them. Mm. And what I realized is, and I put the information there that, you know, biblically, it's not lust. The two become one. We see that over and over throughout the scriptures, that God's will is for two. When Adam and Eve were joined together, the two became one flesh. And so you will not be lusting after someone if they belong to you. That's right. Not called lust. Mm-hmm. What lust is when you desire something that does not belong to you, that shouldn't belong to you, and then you desire that. Now, that can happen in the marriage bed as well. When instead of enjoying your spouse, you're letting your mind wander and you're hoping that it was someone else. Mm-hmm. Or you're thinking about something that is just not righteous. But with each other, there's no such thing as lust. And so you should never, ever feel guilty because you desire your spouse. As a matter right. of fact, that is right. You should mm-hmm. desire. I can't wait to mm-hmm. see you again. I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking of my wife, not always, you know, the way that I left her, but the way that I want to see her when I come back. Mm. All right. Now you fill in the blanks. Okay. We're on a Christian show, so I'm not going to share any more than that, but that's the reality. And so it is not lust. A few other things that were shared, because we do have a few minutes here, about our talk here about sex, intimacy, the marriage bed. This one, Deidre Drake says, the lady was speaking of Ebony's article, Single Saved and Having Sex, Are You Going to Hell? And this was earlier in the program. Someone mentioned about this article. It was this article from Ebony magazine called Single Saved and Having Sex. Deidre Drake, thank you so much for that information. I also posted, just to define romance, right? We started our conversation today with romance. We asked Kayla and Amaryllis to share about that. And so I just came up with this little, you know, ABC, you know, comment on what you think. Define romance. A is making love. B is spending quality time. Or C, making love is spending quality time. And I know for me, it was C all the way for a long time. I'm like, making love, quality time. They're together. They go hand in hand. But it's interesting how many comments have been put out there that they don't say that. Some, mostly women, think that spending quality time is true romance. Most men think that it is making love. And however, for some reason, if we don't blend those two, then mm-hmm. we're not going to enjoy that true intimacy. What do you ladies think?
Mm-hmm. I think that you're right. Still with romance, though, that preparation.
It's the key.
You know that you're...
Preparation.
You know, your husband did something special for you, and you are so willing to share with him that he mm-hmm. took that time to plan that, and then you're ready to give yeah. that intimacy. So I know I can tell Amaryllis and I agree
yes.
on that. Yeah. Preparation.
We're here in the studio like, prepare. You don't need to prepare.
Let's have that on the moment.
I mean, I'm like, well, here's the thing. If you want to please your spouse, and this is for the men, you need to prepare. Mm. For the men, we're very visual. So it doesn't take us long to get aroused and to feel like, okay, well, our wives take their clothes off and we are ready. Our wives, it takes them a process. They mm-hmm. got to think about it. They got to get in the mood. And if they don't feel that connection before, it's not going to happen right away. So what Joe Beam said earlier, it says, look, what you do outside of the bedroom comes back into the bedroom.
That's right.
What you do in the bedroom comes back outside. So
that.
You want to have that cycle. I know that's what we're going to take with us for sure this
yes.
week.
That's right.
All right. And, you know, this weekend is Memorial Day weekend. We want to encourage you, have a safe and great weekend. We do appreciate all the calls. And we also want to say that those who've served our country really do deserve our honor and praise. And so we just want to say a quick prayer as we close out for all those who are there fighting for our country or who have done so already. We want to thank them. Let's close out with a prayer. God in heaven, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this show and the topic. And Father, I do pray that many, many marriages, many relationships are healed and blessed because of it. Mm-hmm. We pray, God, that we could all have a safe and enjoyable Memorial Day weekend, and we could remember all those who've sacrificed their lives and continue to sacrifice their lives for us in this country. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Much love goes to our in-house producer here, Larry. I'm not going to say Larry Love, but he is Larry. Much love goes to him. We have our off-site producer, Sam Dowling, here. That's and, of right. course, you know, last but not least, we also have our good friend out there, Ron Holland, in Charlotte, North Carolina. Special thank you to my wife, Amaryllis, for joining us, yes. and Miss Kayla for filling in for Tiffany Bacon. All we right. see you, and we'll hear from you next week. God bless.
God bless.